thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised, your voice is raised.
Good morning, everybody. Last week, I talked a little bit about the crisis in Syria with their educational system, and these stories just made an impact on me, so I'm going to read two more stories to you. 11-year-old Sonia earnestly describes her life in Syria. She wishes she could return to it. These are all refugees that have left and are in other countries now. Rebu used to play the guitar and draw pictures. Nature houses, she used to draw pictures of nature and houses and her school. She loved learning, but her education was put on hold when Syria's civil war started. I was very sad, she says, because I had to leave school and all my friends, whom I love and used to study with. She remembers the regular sounds of bombs and bullets, goods being looted from her father's shop, her parents' inability to leave the house for food because of the constant shooting. Sonia remembers the fighting on the road from Damascus to Lebanon while her family was leaving in the spring of 2013. She remembers seeing burned cars and dead bodies. My family came to Lebanon so we would not die in Syria, she says, but I don't like living in Lebanon very much. And then this is DeCloud's story. DeCloud's family didn't think the fighting in Syria would last long, but then electricity and water were cut off and it became hard to get food. Eventually, the family left. While Samar worried in his family's behalf about the violence, his personal fears centered on education. I was afraid I would not be able to continue studying because I had spent a year in Belarus, and I had missed a year of school in Syria, says the 13-year-old. And a lot of these kids, it says, have missed like a whole year of their education, and I just think it's so neat that these kids are so concerned about it. Daoud dreams of becoming a surgeon one day. They say surgeons are like God. They give life, he says. I want to study very, very well to become a surgeon to help people, to give them life. So we need to continue to pray for the children that are in Syria. They're not in Syria right now, but they're refugees in all different countries.
Thank you, Carol. Hope everybody's reading the missionary books. They are excellent this year. One of them that I heard part of the CD from yesterday was Underground. Has anybody read Underground? My wife, she can't read. She listened to the CD, and I heard part of it. And if you heard it or get the opportunity, I don't know where the book is, but if you get the opportunity, be sure to read that missionary book. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. My, what a good group. Chairs are full. Seats are full. We're glad you're here. Trust that God's going to bless you in a special way. John, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Amen. Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the privilege of returning unto you the portion that you have asked for. It's a blessing to be able to return to you, Father. Yes. Your precious holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
We are indeed on holy ground this morning, and we are grateful for the privilege of being in the presence of the Almighty God. And as we prepare our hearts for prayer this day, we are mindful of some items that are within our bulletin that we want to be remembering. We have some items of note, some folks that are preparing for surgery. Ted Montgomery will have surgery this Tuesday in Bolivar on his knee. And then on the 23rd, this Friday, Bruce will be having surgery in St. Louis for an aneurysm. And then on the 27th, Bonnie Burke will be having a surgery on her back. And so we want to be remembering these folks in particular. We want to encourage you to remember Chris Downing's dad, who had a stint in the hospital this past week and is facing several health issues. And then David Wilson was in the hospital, has been moved to the Maples for rehab for the situation he was going through. And indeed, then we want to give you a word of praise. Amanda, who will be singing special music for us this morning, her uncle Ron Cherry, she saw yesterday, and the lymph nodes have shrunk. And the tumor that was in his leg has gone. It's gone. And so we give God glory and honor. He is worthy of our praise. Give God a hand this morning. He's answered our prayers and indeed has responded. And we want to rejoice with those that rejoice this morning. Great to have Virginia in service after her stay in the hospital. We have many of you. Dee is doing well with her recovery. Debbie Branstein with her recovery. We continue to pray for Joe Tallhelm. Just many. Good to have Truman in services with us this morning. Great to see these people who are continuing to improve as answers to prayer and to pray for these others that indeed have situations that they are facing. I have a word of thanks here to our church family. You'll never know how much all of your prayers, thoughts, wonderful food, and most important, your love has meant to our family. God's peace and love have been felt throughout this entire time. Thank you so much, the Truman Mills family. So we appreciate the beautiful card. We'll post that outside for you to see. And indeed are grateful for those who are a part of our church family. This is also our graduate Sunday. And so Chase and Alex and Jeremy, I'll ask you to stand, and if you would, please just kind of step out into the aisle there and come toward the altars. And then Hannah, this morning, if you'll come, we're gonna invite the people if they want to come and gather around you. These are Jeremy graduated from Ozark, and Alex and Chase will graduate tonight from Nixa. Hannah graduated from Mid-American Nazarene University with her bachelor's in education. And so she will be doing student teaching this coming fall. These others will be proceeding into institutions of higher learning and continuing their educational process and seeking out God's plan for their life. So we're going to invite you this morning, if you'd like, to come and gather around them. We're also going to ask Brother Bruce to come. His family has asked that we anoint him this morning with oil. And so we'll ask Debbie and any of the other family members, Brett and Autumn, any of you, many that want to come, to come and gather around Bruce, any of the church family. You can just kind of gather around all these folks this morning, but we're going to take time to pray. If you need a place of prayer, the outer altars, if we can kind of leave some room at the outer altars, if you need a place to come this morning, you feel free to come and kneel at these altars. No one will bother you, but it'll be your place of prayer. But we want to pray over these special needs this morning. And then I don't know if you noticed, but I moved during the prayer song leading into prayer there and ignited the candle on the communion table. Does anybody know what that means? Somebody got saved. I have the opportunity. Yeah, clap. That's right. Praise the Lord. I had the opportunity this past week to pray with a young lady in her 20s to receive Christ. Trust that God will continue to preserve that decision. We'll have some opportunities to have future contacts, someone from outside of our church family. And so there are windows of opportunity, folks, out there. We've been trying to prepare you and resource you and train you and teach you, but we remind you that there are opportunities every day, and we can have an impact on our world for Jesus Christ, and so we want to do so. So we're going to anoint Bruce this morning. We're going to be praying specifically for our graduates, and then we have a special presentation for them at the conclusion of prayer time this morning. But let's join our hearts together. We'll ask the whole church family to stand with us if you're physically able. If you're not, you feel free to remain seated, but we're going to come together for this time of prayer now.
Father, we're indeed grateful.
Yes, Lord.
For all that you do for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the great God of heaven, creator and sustainer of the universe. The scripture tells us that there is nothing too hard for you, nothing that's impossible for you. And Father, we have heard testimony this morning to Brother Ron Cherry and the cancer that he had in his body and how you have delivered him in that way. We have people within our own congregation who have received the touch of God in other situations in their lives. We know that you are the healing God. We also know, Father, that within history that there are those times like the Apostle Paul who said, I prayed three times for you to remove this thorn in the flesh and it didn't happen. So, Lord, we know that in your infinite wisdom, you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And sometimes even the suffering that we go through is a testimony to others of how God can sustain us. Now, Father, when we pray, we're going to pray with the sky being the limit. And Father, our prayer today is that you would take Brother Bruce and you'd touch him. We thank you, Father, for the resources that are there, the technology, the hospitals, the specialists, the skilled surgeons. But Lord, we would pray in our own hearts and in our own minds that when Bruce goes to St. Louis this week, Father, that you indeed would have them to say, well, you don't really need to be here anymore, and send him home. But Father, if that's not the course that's taken, we pray that you would guide and direct and that you would use technology and medications and all the things that are possible to put Bruce in the best possible health that he can be in. Father, we thank you. Pray your blessing upon his family. We know they have anxiety about this procedure. We pray, Father, that you'd give them the peace that passes all understanding and that they would have complete hope and faith that God indeed is going to touch and help and heal and that everything will be okay. Father, we pray for these others that we have mentioned already, that we mentioned during the request time. Pray your hand upon them. Brother Ted will be facing surgery on Tuesday. Pray you put your hand upon him. Bonnie, who will have surgery on the 27th. Thank you for the way you've already touched those who are in the healing process. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to bless them and be with them. Lots of decisions that have to be made in some of their cases, Father. We think of David and Rochelle this morning who are contemplating having to move back from Springfield to Kansas. And a lot of things to be worked out in that. And we just pray for your wisdom and guidance and direction. Father, we are grateful for all that you do. We are thankful for the blessings of heaven. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your love that is there unconditionally for us. And Father, then we pray for these graduates this morning. We thank you for these young people who are part of our family. And we know, Lord, that they have their own families. They have their own parents. They have their blood relatives. But Father, they are our family by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. And we love them. And we pray for your blessing upon them, upon Chase and Alex and Jeremy, upon Hannah. Father, we pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you would put your hand upon them and guide them as they seek to fulfill your purpose and plan in their life. Yes. We pray that they would be successful wherever they go. We pray that they would be witnesses for Christ, that their attitude would cause others to know about you and want to know you. And Father, we pray that you just bless them as they continue their education and the learning process. Help them to be all that you've given them potential to be, Lord Jesus. And then we pray that you continue to bless our entire church family. Lord, as we go forth, all the things that the ministries that are going on, the fellowships that take place, the things that will happen in the future, Lord, the small groups, missions, all of the things, every component, Sunday school, all the things that are a part of our church, Lord, we pray your blessing upon us that we might continue to impact our community for Jesus Christ. We might continue to be a lighthouse. And then, Lord, for these that are kneeling at our altars this morning who have needs on their hearts, perhaps that are unspoken, we know, Lord, that you can handle whatever it is that's on their heart and mind. We pray that you would go to them right now and give them that sense of your presence, give them that sense of your participation, and Lord, indeed, help them to stand up with peace and assurance in their heart and minds that God is on the scene and handling the situation, and Lord, that it's going to be okay and it's well with their souls this morning. For all this, Lord, we will be eternally grateful and give you the honor and the glory and the praise that you are due, for worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and we give you praise in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God's blessing upon you. You guys just hang with me for a minute. You can stay here if you want, or you can go, whatever you would like. Okay, now I need you to turn around and face the congregation because they want to see how pretty you are. And how educated you've become, and how intelligent and everything. It is our honor Every year we have graduates, our high school graduates. Now there are those like Hannah who've gone on postgraduate high school and have done work for their bachelor's degrees, and some then who have proceeded on into master's degrees and other things. We're always proud of everyone's accomplishments, but it is our practice and our tradition here in our church that when we have high school graduating seniors that we present them with a gift from the church. And it's always the same gift because we think it's an important gift. And we know that they may already have one, that we want to present them with a fresh, unused copy of God's Word. Now, this one is much bigger than an iPhone. It won't fit in your back pocket. But every once in a while, it never hurts to have a good old hard copy for the Word of God. Now, we also know that sometimes you have favorite Bibles, those kind of things. And so we've purchased this Bible from CPO. And you have our permission, if you already have a Bible like this and you do not want to keep this Bible, you have our permission to go back to CPO and trade this in for whatever kind of Christian reading that you might use that will help you along your journey and along your way. But indeed, it is our desire to put the Word of God into your hands. And so if you want to keep this Bible, there is a card in here that you can take it to CPO and they will print your name on it for free. And if you want to keep it, then we will then write inside of it, if you would like for us to, about the presentation and a word of encouragement for you to look back at every once in a while. Because you can't look in your iPhone and find anywhere in there where it says, "We love you and we're praying for you back home." But if you want us to, we'll make sure you have that, that you can look at in this Bible. And so, Alex, we present to you a copy of The Quest. It is an NIV study Bible, and we are glad for you to have it. And Chase, to you, a copy. Congratulations. Jeremy, to you. Let me shake your hands. Congratulate you on this milestone in your life and your education. The most important thing, though, is that you keep learning more about God and let Him work in your life every day. Would you congratulate these young people this morning on their accomplishment? We love them and appreciate them. And I've worked hard on a sermon. I'm going to present a sermon that I think will be good for our graduating seniors, but I think will be good for you too. And some of them have family in, they have gatherings, and so some of them have to depart the premises. Others get to stay. But we're glad if you can stay with us. And if you go with our blessing. We love you, and we're glad you're part of our church family. Amen. God bless you.
Good morning. I want to thank you for inviting me to share this morning. Pastor told me that he would be talking on faith and our purpose in life. And so I felt compelled to share a little something. This has been a very difficult year for my family, and I'll do my best not to cry, because then I can't sing. We have had, for the last year, we've had 6 deaths in our family and friends. I lost my job, which I made half of our income. Our pastor in Monette, that's where my husband and daughter and I attended for 7 years, I was the music minister there, and he took another calling. And so at that time, I felt released from that position. So that was another change. And then a couple months ago, my dad called me and said that my Uncle Ron, which we've been praying for, thank you, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And that was just a big shock. Part of those deaths was Nathan's grandfather, who was the rock of their family, and mine died a month later. Some of you may know Marvin Cherry was my grandfather. And those were both pillars in our families. And so now to find out that my uncle had cancer was just a big shock. So after receiving the call from my dad, about the news, I was just kind of sitting there and in shock. But this voice came in my head, a very strong voice, a very authoritative voice, but yet calming, said, "He will be healed." And I, about a week later, went to visit my dad because he and I both were out of work. And so we would spend some days together. And I told him, I said, "Dad, you know, this is what happened the other day when you told me." He said, "Well, funny thing is, I heard the same voice." And that's just affirmation. And visiting with Uncle Ron yesterday, he told us that he has also heard from God, and God has told him that he will be healed from this terminal cancer. And so that's our belief, and we claim that in the name of Jesus Christ. And Pastor shared the word that his lymph nodes have shrunk, and some of the tumors he had are completely gone. And so we hold to that faith. And so my song this morning has to do with stepping out, not knowing what's going on. The job I had for 10 years and was suddenly not good enough anymore, I guess. But looking back, knowing what's going on there, it's a very hostile work environment. And so I praise God for taking me out of that. And now I'm substituting, and it's great. I love it. I love the kids. So I did it without crying. Good. Okay. So I will share this with you this morning.
Rest in your embrace, for I am
We are honored when God gives to us people that we're glad for everybody to come. We've got some first-time visitors here this morning. We welcome you, ask you not to consider yourself as visitors any longer, but to make yourself at home. But always glad when God plants in our congregation those who have varying abilities. And you don't always see people's abilities on this platform. There are people who do lots of things that are never seen. And we appreciate you as well. The church is still primarily a volunteer organization. And so thank you for all that you do. People who are prayer warriors certainly are significant to us as well. And those are things we hardly ever see. But we're not sustained without the prayers of God's people. And so we thank you for all that you do and all that you share, all of your talents and abilities. And I want to talk primarily to our graduates this morning, but I'm speaking to everyone as we talk about a prescription for success. I don't know anyone at any stage in their life who doesn't want to find success. I don't know anyone who doesn't want to consider themselves to have accomplished something, to contributed something to society. And so we find in the Word of God today some direction that I think is indeed helpful to us and encouraging, and that we want you to take note of as we go. So if you have your Bibles this morning or your phones, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. I have to get used to this new generation and their technology and the way that they go about things because it is different than I am used to. And I'm not sure, you know, when I was a kid growing up, they had the board that had the attendance that sat right kind of behind the preacher and off to his right so that everyone could see it. And you would have the attendance for the day and you would have the offering for the day. And on our particular board as a kid growing up in the little Baptist church I grew up in, it said Bibles brought. I'm not sure how to count all those phones because I don't know if you're using them or not, but if you got a Bible on them, then you brought your Bible with you. And so we would have to count all those phones. But at any rate, turn to the Scripture with me this morning. It is the Word of God, however you find it, in whatever print mode that it is in. But turn to Joshua chapter 1, and let's share together verses 6 through 9 this morning. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What a great passage of Scripture. What a great challenge. What a great admonishment. And I, again, don't know of anyone this morning who doesn't want to achieve what we determine to be some level of success in our lives. John D. Rockefeller Jr. said, "The secret of success is to do the common things uncommonly well."
That's what people notice, isn't it? When somebody does something a little different, a little better, at the next level up, whatever it is, they realize that a special thing is taking place, and those people are considered to be successful. When James Garfield, who later became president of the United States, was principal at Hiram College in Ohio, a father asked him if the course of study could be simplified so that his son might be able to go through by a shorter route. "Certainly," Garfield replied, "but it all depends on what you want to make of your boy. When God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 100 years. When he wants to make a squash, he only requires 2 months. Perhaps in our society today, we're producing too many squashes and not enough oak trees. Paul Harvey was asked what the secret of his success was, and he simply said this, "I get up when I fall down." Sometimes success is about the effort that we put forth. Sometimes success is about trying again when we fail. Success oftentimes is said to be, how many times have we heard that term, an overnight success, and then how many times have we heard the story behind the story, and hardly ever is anyone who's been qualified as an overnight success ever tell you that things came overnight. Most of them, particularly, and I think a lot about musicians, I hear this in regard to a lot of musicians, and what you'll find is people who become famous in a particular recording, they finally have a number one hit song, and it goes public, and now they get on YouTube and go viral, and whatever, and they achieve a level of success. What we find out is that those people have been writing and singing and performing music most of the time for years prior to that happening. They've paid their dues by traveling from place to place, singing in different venues and writing music. And oftentimes they're having to sing somebody else's hit music in order to get to present the music that they're writing as original until it is recognized by someone. So hardly ever are there truly overnight successes. There are those rare occasions, there are those rare moments, there are those things in history where someone has invented a product and all of a sudden the public just embraces it, and all of a sudden that person becomes very wealthy. How many times have I heard somebody say they wanted to be the guy who invented sticky notes? You know, and yet some of these inventors were inventing all kinds of other things that were total failures before they got to that one thing that entirely worked. But I believe that within this passage of Scripture that we have shared with you this morning, that God gives to us kind of a specific set of directives that would help us to indeed become a success in our life. And so I want to turn your attention first to verse 6, where he talks about them inheriting what God has already given to them. Now, we all know the stories about the promised land and how God had said, "I'm going to give this to you." And they still went through all the problems and wandering around and fighting battles and stuff. The truth of the matter was, if they would have just embraced what God had already provided for them, it would have been a lot easier and a lot better and a lot faster. The truth of the matter is, when God created every one of us, He created us with a purpose. He knows what that is. He knows what His intentions for us are. And we need to find what it is that we've inherited from Father God, whatever talents and abilities that He has created within us. And we begin to need to find that purpose and that plan that He has for us. I want you just to listen to a few verses of Scripture this morning that talk about how God indeed wants to be a part of our life and indeed has prepared us and helped us along the way. I turn first to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 21. "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." One of the first things that we have to work out is coming to that place where we're trying to figure out whether we're going to be all about what I want to do and what I want to be, or when I really discover that success in life is being able to capitalize on what God has already given me the power and plan to be. Many, many people have thwarted their lives and been unsuccessful because they were all about working their own desires rather than becoming what God had gifted them and indeed laid out a plan for their lives to be. We have to get past my plan versus His plan. The best way to be successful is to come to that place where we surrender and yield to God and say, "You are Creator, You are Sustainer of the universe, You are in and over all, and it's all about what You want for me."
and coming to that purpose and that plan. We find that if we turn over into the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we find this recorded. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The good comes when we are in love with God and we are going according to His purpose. How many times have we found ourselves not really asking God what He wants first, but indeed asking God to bless what we want? Now, God, I want you to help me to do this. God, I want you to help me to have this. And without any thought at all, we never stop to say, God, I know that you have all wisdom. I know that you know everything. And so I just want to know what you know. How many times have we failed to say, what do you want for me? What do you have for me? What did you plan for me? Sometimes we can save ourselves a lot of trouble and effort. We find out that there might be an itinerary that's already there if we just allow God to work it in our lives. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6, we find these words, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. How many of you here are really good finishers? How many of you are really good at seeing everything through to the end? How many of you are really creative minds and you're great initiators? But sometimes things, there's just all kinds of things on the counter and in the floor and in the back room. And you started all kinds of great things and you had wonderful ideas, but they're never finished. I read some quote when I was studying for this sermon, and there's not any such word in the dictionary, but there was this quote from an individual that said something about there needs to be more than initiation, there needs to be finitiation. Aren't you glad that God will complete a work in us? What would happen if God said, oh yeah, I intended to save you, I just forgot. Oh yeah, I was going to send my son to die for you, but I forgot, and yeah, judgment's here, so y'all going to hell. What a tragic thing that would be. But the good thing is that God sees His work through to the finish. And if we're going to be in the spirit and the image of God, we need to be finishers as well as initiators. And if we're not, then we need to find others around us who help us and complement us and help us to work together as God's family. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do you get this over and over message that we're not going to get there without God? If I could say anything to you, graduates, it would be this. Make sure God is a part of what's going on. Make sure that you don't get to that point. I've had some times as I've had people pass through my office and they would say things like this. Well, yeah, when I was a kid, I accepted Jesus in Sunday school, or I accepted God in Bible school, or, you know, yeah, when I was a kid, I did that and I knew all those scriptures. But when I went to college, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. When I went to college, I put God on the back burner. There's a questionnaire sometimes in part of the counseling that we do at different points in times in people's lives that it says, when was the time you felt the furthest from God? I had an individual who wrote on there one time, right now. 20-some years old, right now. Know all the right things, raised in church, had great values, great morality, was a good person, was working in a good career. They just got to doing other things. Life became about them. I said to them, do you want your kids to know about God? Yeah. Plan to raise your children in church? Yeah. What are you doing now? Oh, I just haven't done that lately. At what point in time do we reach that point of decision where we realize God has to be included? God can't be an afterthought. He has to be the thought. It's all about God. It's all about our connection to Him. And he has a purpose for us. And the great thing is, God never just leaves us out there alone. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17, it reads like this: so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wherever God calls us, he equips us. I just read an ad in the paper yesterday. I was reading through the paper and I got into classified, and there was this big ad, big salary, big vacation, big thing, big job, bring your own tools. Have your own education. We want you, if you've already got this experience, completed this course, have these tools, done this thing. God says, I'll equip you. I'll help you to get the job done. God doesn't just say, you're on your own. But he walks with us. He has a purpose for our lives, and he wants to be a part of our lives. I think that if we don't understand anything else, we need to understand that first and foremost, our purpose in life is to glorify God. Matter of fact, I was reading, I was reminded again of Jesus' priestly prayer, and Justin, you don't have this, but it says this in red letters in John chapter 17 and verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. That's what Jesus said to the Father. Folks, that's what we're here for. Every one of us, no matter what our age, no matter what our lot in life, every one of us is here for one purpose: to glorify God. We're here to honor him. We're here to show people the way to him. We're here to point them to them. John W. Gardner, the founding chairman of the Common Cause, said it's a rare and high privilege to help people understand the difference that they can make, not only in their own lives, but also in the lives of others, simply by giving of themselves. Gardner tells of a cheerful old man who asked the same question of just about every new acquaintance he fell into conversation with. What have you done that you believe in and you are proud of? He never asked conventional questions like, what do you do for a living? It was always, what have you done that you believe in and are proud of? What a great question. It was an unsettling question for many people who had built their self-esteem on their wealth or their family name or their exalted job title. Now that the old man was a fierce interrogator, he was delighted by a woman who answered, I'm doing a good job of raising three children. And by a cabinet maker who said, I believe in good workmanship and I practice it. And by a woman who said, I started a bookstore and it's the best bookstore for miles around. I don't really care how they answer, the old man said. I just want to put the thought in their minds that they should live their lives in such a way that they can have a good answer. Not a good answer for me, but for themselves. That's what's important. And so I ask you, graduates, this morning, I ask you who've graduated already and been long gone, let me ask you this morning, what have you done that you believe in and you're proud of? There can be a lot of good answers to that question. Not only do we need to find God's purpose in our life, but we need to follow God's precepts. A precept is a principle intended as a general rule of action or conduct. I want you to listen to how many times, and this is not all inclusive, but I just give you several examples here out of the book of Psalms this morning in Psalms 119. Verse 27 reads, let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. And in verse 40, it says, how I long for your precepts, preserve my life in your righteousness. Verse 56 reads, this has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Verse 93 tells us, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. And then in 104 and 105, it says, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? I hate every wrong path. It goes on to say, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Where do we find God's precepts? Where do we find those principles that act as general rules of action or conduct? There's only one place. We find them in God's Word. We find them in the Holy Bible. Matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 13, reads like this, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." One of the things that we have to establish oftentimes when people come to me and ask me to help them with situations in their life, whether it's premarital or postmarital or counseling for other purposes, one of the first things that I try to establish when people come into my office is, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Because the truth of the matter is, if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, everything I'm going to say from here on out isn't going to mean a hill of beans to you, because everything I'm going to say to you is based on what I believe about the Bible being the Word of God. And that the Word of God is the guidebook for life. That is the instruction manual. It was written by the inventor of life, and he knows everything about everybody. He knows how it should all work. That indeed it is the roadmap for our activity and our conduct, that it actually is the Word of God. And therefore it is to be understood and adhered to. And if you want to be successful, if you want to make any sense of whatever I'm going to say to you from here on out, there's really not even any point in us meeting again after tonight if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, because everything I'm going to tell you is going to be based on what the Word of God says. Because I am convinced that the answer to every question in life is within these pages. That there's not a situation, which this book does not contain, a principle that will apply and help. Precepts are like rules. How many of you, one of the things that's fun, we have fun at our house now. We have this 4-year-old person who comes to our house. And this 4-year-old person was raised under the head of a competitive father, who was raised under the head of a competitive grandfather, who sometimes didn't pay attention to anything anybody told him prior to that. But at any rate, the idea is that we played a lot of sports and we involved in a lot of competition, and we like to win. Here's what I've learned from a 4-year-old. If the rules don't help you achieve your end purpose, change them. That's the wisdom of a 4-year-old. You can change in midstream. The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people trying to change the rules in midstream, but that's not how life works. And rules exist for a purpose. Rules guarantee rights to each and every member of a society. They create equality, they create fairness, they create order, they prevent chaos. I was reading an article and it said, here are the top 3 reasons that we need rules: to protect people from being harmed by others, to protect people from harming themselves, and to promote morality. And morality is always based on the opinion or the belief of the person who wrote the law. You know why America is struggling so much right now? Because the people who now sit on the benches in the courts that are interpreting law no longer have the same values as the people who wrote the laws. They do not interpret them on the basis of the beliefs of the people who wrote them and originated them. They are now taking the laws that exist and they are interpreting them based on the belief of a culture that exists presently. I remember several years ago, when I first came to this community, and the Ministerial Alliance was newly formed, and one of the issues that we were trying to deal with then was video stores that came in with VHS tapes. And they had an under-counter stock of VHS tapes that were rated XXX. And so we were trying to find obscenity codes and those kinds of things that would apply to keeping people from being able to get their hands on these things. And so we began to study the state statutes and try to figure out what we could do as a ministerial alliance. And it basically, at that point in time, the law, and that would have been back in the late 80s, early 90s, the law was kind of written to say that it matters according to the community standard. So it was almost like the state law, the state statute was written, but it would be administered to by the local law enforcement people according to what the most of the people in that community believed. So no longer do laws exist because of the beliefs of those who wrote them, but now laws are just simply dealt with in terms of the culture that exists. That's why we're having so many problems. We live in a culture that says there are no absolutes. We live in a culture that says intolerance is not letting everybody do whatever they want to do anytime they want to do it. But when that goes on, what happened to the rights of everyone? They cease to exist. Because all of a sudden I determine that I'm more important than you. And if I want to do what I want to do on your time and on your property, you're supposed to allow me to do so because I need to have freedom. Follow God's precepts. If you want to be successful in life, you have to understand that you have to have respect for everybody else around you. You have to honor the codes that exist in your culture and your society, within the laws that exist in your world. More than that, the truth of the matter is, if you'll honor God's laws, you won't have any problems with anybody else's. Find God's purpose. Follow God's precepts. Play by the rules. And the third thing is this, factor in God's promise. This perhaps is the best part. We look at that passage in Joshua where he talked about inheriting what God gave, and he talked about obeying the laws that are there, not going to the right or the left. But he also says in verse 9, he says, know that I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. If you invite me into your life, I'll be there for you. Isn't it great to believe that somebody's going to be there? How many of you like to have that feeling? Don't you love it when somebody says, I got your back? The only problem is sometimes people say, I've got your back, and when you turn around to look behind you, they're not there. But God always has our back. God will protect us when we're striving to do the right thing. God will take care of us. No matter what, the promise comes again and again. I read you just a few examples this morning in Deuteronomy. Chapter 31, in verse 6, it says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you love that promise? He'll never leave you or forsake you. And we find, right, the verse previous to what we started reading in text this morning, verse 5. Not only did he say it in verse 9, but before we started reading that passage in verse 5 of Joshua 1, he says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then we're reminded in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20 that he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. When he was getting ready to leave the earth, he wanted the disciples to know, I may be leaving physically, but my spirit will be present with you. My power will be here. My presence will be here. I will be with you all the way. It's so comforting and so wonderful to know that indeed God wants to be with us all the time, that we're not facing situations alone. A grandfather found his grandson jumping up and down in his playpen, crying at the top of his voice. And when Johnny saw his grandfather, he reached up his chubby little hands and said, out, Gramp, out. It was only natural for grandfather to reach down to lift the little fellow out of his predicament. But as he did, the mother of the child stepped up and said, no, Johnny, you are being punished, so you must stay in. The grandfather was at a loss to know what to do. The child's tears and chubby hands were reached deep into his heart, but now the mother's firmness in correcting her son for misbehavior must not be lightly taken. Here was a problem of love versus law, but love found a way. The grandfather could not take the youngster out of the playpen, so he crawled in with him. How many times do we find passages in biblical history where God did not spare people suffering? God did not spare them difficult situations like Paul and Silas or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but indeed he was with them in that trouble. God's promise does not mean life will be a bed of roses, but it means in every challenge we face, God will be there with us. If you want to be successful and you want to be prosperous, be still and take time to seek out God and find His purpose and plan for your life. Talk to Him. Read His Word. Find out what He's got to say. Obey His precepts. God put the stuff in the book because He knows how to cause our horizontal relationships to work as well as our vertical one. If we'll follow God's rules, we'll get along with each other a lot better, and the world will be a better place. And He reminded us, wherever you go, even when you're someplace you're not supposed to be, if you ask me into your heart, I'll be there. Aren't you glad God doesn't desert us sometimes when we're where we're not supposed to be? But that He's willing to help get us out of there. And He assuredly goes with us when we're going where we're supposed to go. He helps us along the way. Would you stand with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you just for a moment, would you just make a commitment to say, Lord, I want You to be in charge of me. I want what You want for me more than what I want for me. Matter of fact, I want what I want for me to be what You want for me. I know You have a plan for my life. I know You have a purpose for me. I want to fulfill that purpose to glorify You. I know that You have given me a guidebook. You've painted the white lines on the road. You've taught me where to go and how to get there. Help me to follow those directions. And Lord, may I never forget Your promise that You'll be with me wherever I go. You'll never leave me or forsake me. Just before we go this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed, these altars are open. Is there anyone this morning that just needs a place to pray? To say, I've kind of put God on the back burner. I've kind of let God go. I'm really not pursuing God the way I ought to, but I just want to make a fresh commitment today. These altars are open. You're welcome to come, kneel, make a place of prayer. Make a fresh commitment to God. To say, Lord, I want You to be in charge. I want You to guide and direct. I want it to be about You, not about me. Are you exercising your faith in Him to overcome all obstacles and challenges? To claim His promise for success and prosperity. He wants you to enjoy that. Let Him be Lord of all, and He'll see you through. I'm pretty proud of my kids, as you are yours. Just so happened that I also have the privilege of one of mine still being around, who I believe has achieved a certain level of success in his life already. And I know that he cares about these young people that are graduating. I'm going to ask my son, Cody, if he will, to pray a closing prayer for us this morning.